Hey guys, thanks for listening. Before this episode starts, I want to give you a great shout out that you guys are phenomenal, amazing, great people to listen to my podcast, even if it just recently picked it up or listened all the way at the beginning. I graciously appreciate it. And on to the show. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to one of the greatest episodes, one of many episodes in 2023. Now, of course, this is the last few episodes of the year, but we will be coming back, hopefully, next year in 2024. Now, what I'm about to state, this year was not a great year for film. There were so many other things and so many other great things, but sadly, this year was not so great for certain films, especially when it was during the writer's strike, the writer's actor strike, and many other things. So to get to the bare grits of the worst films, these are the top 10 that I find very, very, like, not only weird, but at the same time understanding, because these were box office flops. So, to start in number 10, and believe it or not, this is not a great year for comic book movies, is ironically The Flash. And even though it made some hits, it didn't really hit the marker for Warner Brothers for that one. For the mere fact that in the past, while they're in production, even after production, post-production was still a nightmare. Ezra Miller had gotten himself in trouble. I don't need to explain that. He's literally a man of few words, but even so, he is a actor who has done some many wrongs, but we still have to, in many ways, think that there is a recovery in this. But after that ordeal and the whole opening, it is unclear where we're going to be seeing his roles. The worst scene that I find in the Flash movie would be the there's a few, but the one sticks out would be like literally the CGI the montage, if you will. Now, granted, what we saw in the montage was fantastic, was awesome, and, you know, fan-worthy. There was, unbeknownst to everyone, there was at least a hint of some weird, you know, like, this is actually literally CG if you look at it very carefully. It gives off vibes of a Blade 2 moment, where you're seeing, like, in silhouette kind of deal, but even so, the proportion of how that CG worked, it was fine, but it didn't do the movie much justice, especially in many things. There also were a few things that I've seen. Of course, the opening during that whole weekend was like literally why things are happening. Not to mention, even after the ending with George Clooney appearing as Batman for that particular film, it is surprisingly, I find that scene to be, you know, just worthy for many things. But even so, don't hate Clooney, guys. Because George Clooney is one of many Batman actors that's out there that was portraying the role that was given. The reason why I hit top 10 to begin with, to even be at 10, is I find that to be, like, really, really, you know, it had its moments, but at the same time, it was like it was a poorly adjusted ending for the Flash, especially when many rewrites, many performance, many reshoots. It was literally a production nightmare for some people, and then during the production and in post-production, it became even a bigger nightmare for that one. Top 9. The top 9 spot, and I actually can't believe I actually put this on here too, is 80 for Brady. This movie was basically aimed for older ladies who wanted to see Tom Brady perform in football. The box office numbers for this one is, it did hit well, but it didn't hit well in the openings. The openings was more of a less successful deal than anything else. The scenes for this one, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like as if you were reliving a childhood moment where you're trying to get into the locker room. You know, as far as I know, that was like the weirdest scene I ever seen it. Of course, 80 for Brady didn't have that much marketing, and I'm going to point out a few of those in the other movies as well. But this one didn't have so much marketing. It feels like it was just placed there just to like notion where it is on the whole, hey, we got this, you know, comedy family drama thing. We'll just put an opening there. The reason why I hit top 9 on my list is because there has been already been so many football movies that I've seen over the years, and ironically, this is like one of those movies where it was nice, but it didn't reach, you know, status for me on that one. And my list is very different from many things. Number 8, and this one's actually a kind of surprise, but not so much of a surprise. The movie 65, starring Adam Driver. Basically, he is a pilot who finds himself stranded in prehistoric Earth with a crew, and they are finding a way to get back in their own time. But even so, they have troubles with dinosaurs and all that. Again, marketing for this one was not so much, and I barely saw any other like trailers much in the mainstream, hidden the proverbial door to see this. And even this almost flew under my radar when I'm noticing a lot of things when I was reviewing movies during the time, especially episodes and all that. But even so, 65 literally just makes the whole feel that it's like a less movie to wonder. Of course, the opening of that is that no one knew 65 was a Jurassic movie or something that falls in line of time travel. The movie didn't have too much of a problem, but even so, this is like an underperformance for Adam Driver's role, whereas I feel that he is aimed for much bigger things. I mean, this man was in the House of Gucci. He is now in Ferrari. This man has range. This is a less luxury style for his role, even though it is a good action movie for him to like go for his chops. I mean, his performance in Star Wars alone gave him this like proverbial spot in here. The reason why it's on my list as number 8 is because how it was like lackluster on many things for certain individuals. This movie in particular is the lackluster of Mr. Driver's filmology, if you will. But it's even so, his stuff is fantastic. He is a phenomenal actor. Just this film didn't do him justice. All right, number 7. And believe it or not, I do have a piece of paper that's not in order. But even so, I just want to make sure that everyone knows that this is like one of those things where I didn't put it in the right place in the right time. So number 7, and again, this is kind of like almost under the radar, so to speak, but even so, it's something totally different. The Pope's Exorcist has Russell Crowe in it, and it basically has like a retelling of, well, you know, a demon going after a priest. The numbers for this one was so like not, we all know what was the best horror film out there, especially during Halloween and all that, and we all know that for a fact. If not, guys, it's Five Nights at Freddy. You know, that's a good horror film. Plus, also it had top animatronics, and also the numbers not only from box office and streaming, no said. But The Pope's Exorcist, on the other hand, this movie is just another like, you know, religious movie. No offense. that came to someone's desk and say, hey, we'll just put it right there. The worst part is that the scene that's in that movie just reminds me of the actual Exorcist, the first Exorcist. And that one was like literally balls to wall, you know, homage. But at the same time, it's like, seriously, a possessed Russell Crowe? We have seen a possessed Russell Crowe beforehand. If not, if anyone wants to try Tom Cruise's The Mummy. Yeah, no set on that one. The opening for that one, I think it was opening with another movie that came out during that weekend, and it's just like literally like it was competing with one another, and we all know that the Pope's Exorcist did not have a good of a marketing on that one. The reason why it hits my number 7 is because this film like literally had a time giving us like scares, giving us the thrills. It's great, but it didn't really resonate with the genre too well. It didn't really hit the marketing for Halloween so much. I think it was released like within Halloween month, but like early on, because it was not too prominent, if you will. Number 6. And this is actually kind of funny, because even I'm finding weird that it is one of the worst film that has been on a box office market. The reason why I'm saying that is because it's kind of weird. And it's Fool's Paradise. Fool's Paradise is basically a Piper Pauper deal, which is a rich guy, poor guy, who looks the same, but they switch places. But in a weird sense, this movie was like a Charlie Chaplin Piper Pauper person, because the storyline has Charlie Day not only playing an actual movie star person, but also at the same time playing a recently released like mute patient that like literally looked like the actor, and somehow he finds himself stumbling in Hollywood to just replace him for certain scenes, and the other guy is like taking the credit. Now, the scene of him just realizing that, it just did give me like that like Switcheroo vibe, where it just like things will happen, things will go wrong, things will just probably change, you know, for the better for the other character, but at the same time it's like something totally different. The opening weekend for Fool's Paradise, I think it was like a select movie for that, because there were certain parts of where it's at didn't really hit a lot of audience in that particular genre piece, as well as where it's supposed to be. So the opening for that one was kind of strange, but at the same time it did get some reviews, get some works. Why is this one on my list as number 5, I think it's number 5. No, I think, number 5. Or, yeah, number 6. The reason why it's a number 6 for this one is because it really had a moment where Charlie Day is shining as the star for certain stories that he feel best. I mean, this man, just like many other talents, has a drive and a fine fashion of where they're at. This movie does give Charlie Day his due, but I feel this is like a lackluster of where it is. So, he's awesome, just the movie didn't get so much rave and crave on that one. Number 5. Finally, we're in number 5. And even so, I find it very weird, but also at the same time very bad, because again, this is like hitting the comic book movies once more, and it's Shazam Fury of the Gods. Now, don't get me wrong, Zachary Levi, fantastic guy, awesome, amazing, as well as the many other cast members that's on the film. The movie did in fact make some, you know, return of investment, ROI, if you will. But the story of how this was like deteriorating, if you will, was literally like the family was like losing, you know, structure or whatever against three elder gods who was trying to bring back their world after it was perished and all that. Yeah, that's a good storyline, and it had so many things. Heck, it had I think not only Zachary Levi, but we also had Adrian Brody, I think, yes, from the OC. Lucy Liu, she was one of the villains. Helen Mirren, like, seriously, you guys tell me that this is one of the worst movies that I'm putting on the list? Like, no, it shouldn't be, but the way it was going, the box office didn't do so well for it because the opening was somewhat terrible, somewhat. But it did gain traction because, well, it was a movie that was slowly bridging off the end of the DCEU, which is basically the Marvel movie of the DC Comics. But even so, I really wish, in many ways, that this film can actually still continue on bridging off during its, you know, transition with guns and... I forgot the other guy. I do apologize. But even so, I do really wish that this would be another bridger that will help out. The reason why this is my number 5, because I can't put it any lower and definitely not higher. Because the storyline was great, it was awesome. But it's understandable that it had lackluster on many things. Which leads us to our number 4, which is another comic book movie in same comic book continuity, if you will, and that would be Blue Beetle. Okay, now the performance of this one is not too bad. It had some theater goers going, and this was fine. And there was a lot of marketing that surpassed more than the other ones, like Blue Beetle and Aquaman, just a little. I will state something about that one later in an episode when we get back. But Blue Beetle performed quite well, but not too well in the eyes of the audience in box office, because there was certain reasons why during production and all that. And I hate to say it like this, but it's because of one actor who kind of like almost blacklist himself, because he's working with other same ethnicity of certain things. If you think I'm joking, hear me out. It is kind of hard to believe that a person doesn't want to work with another person because of an ethnicity. Like, if you're a Hawaiian and you don't want to work with other Hawaiians, you rather work with other guys who look Hawaiian, then that's kind of like weird in the eyes of other people, you know? And personally, I find that very odd, especially when this particular gentleman is Hispanic in heritage and is, no matter what, working with other Hispanics. Who knew? The worst scene I find in Blue Beetle, which is, and believe it or not, it's his introduction of Into the Suit. I mean, the whole family's freaking out, and then they're finding out that he's fine. Okay, one, normally family don't act like that. But at the same time, I mean, it is comic. It is understandable. It is weirdly in this pages where the family knew that Jaime was literally Blue Beetle. Just, they went with a different approach. The reason why this one's on number 4 is I find the movie, you know, entertaining. It had many star qualities, especially when it started interacting with Ted Kord being the second Blue Beetle, because there was another Blue Beetle before Ted. And then they did explain the whole history of Blue Beetle up to Jaime, and then having towards the end of the movie a sneak peek that, hey, Ted's not gone, he is missing, and he found a way to contact his lab. Who knew? But at the same time, this movie, next to Shazam, was up in the air in the DC universe that it could or could not be. part of the whole kicking out, if you will. So for me, I find that very super odd, but at the same time, cannot really, you know, say no, that this is not happening. Plus, also, unlike Shazam, Blue Beetle may come back in a future DC Universe movie, which means that we're going to probably see Soshi, or the guy who was in Cobra Kai. I do want to apologize, but we will see him again as Jaime Reyes in the Blue Beetle in another movie sometime in the future. On to the next part of the list, and I can't believe this actually is part of my list, but even so, I put this as number three, because Blue Beetle was number four because of that reason. But number three, and you're going to kind of laugh at this because even I find it very odd, I put House Party 2023 as the worst film ever on my list, because here's the reason why I put this on my list as the worst film. One, it's a house party. Literally in the name genre, and if anyone has studied film and known that the house party is like literally a gathering of people in one home, you know, having a party and enjoying themselves and then get caught by the cops and all that, that's a teen trope right there. However, and nothing against the talents and anything, I have something against the storyline on the other hand. It basically stated, in quote, two cleaning guys cleaning LeBron James's house, and they have a party in LeBron James' house. I shall repeat once more. Two guys are cleaning LeBron James's house just to make a mess by having a party in said house. Now that in itself is kind of funny. But at the same time, I mean, this was supposed to be a teen trope, not two older gentlemen who is literally partying up on a famous person. But it personally, it should not be had named House Party. But even so, the box office numbers for this one, it barely hit the marketing. It didn't show anybody who was interested in watching a somewhat remarkable classic retelling, if you will. But at the same time, like, no one was gonna like buy the notion that, hey, it's what it is. But at the same time, it was like literally, you know, a worse time. And I think it was like before June. I think it was like between May, June, something like that. But yeah, the movie, it had a wonderful performance of the talent actors, but the storyline in the movie was not so good. The worst scene of them just like finding a holographic LeBron James, just like, hey, you're doing good, you're doing great, you're doing awesome. Granted, you know, having that for affirmation of getting yourself in that kind of deal, that's fine. That's okay. That's actually everyone. If everyone's like starting to feel like having a bad day, that's, you know, have a holographic version of yourself to say these wonderful things to you. I mean, it's not bad, but even so, it's not wrong. But worse thing, you don't have to actually have that. You probably could do that with a flashback or something. But even so, using technology like that, oh, that's too much. Too much. Yeah, so the reason why this one's like literally top three is because I find that this movie should not have been named House Party, because House Party literally has like a different meaning, and this is like totally different, and it's like weird. But even so, this is a part of the worst films that's out there. But even so, it's because of box office numbers. And I think it was like maybe 2-3 trailers out there just to give us an idea or a heads up of how this film is. So, hey, it is what it is. Number two, and this one, I'm surprised that even with this star that's in here, actually, you know, I'm just a bit shocked because number two is Hypnotic. It stars Ben Affleck as a government agent going after psychosis members and having a what I would call a psychedelic trip, because how these members are able to play thoughts, minds, and everything all together. Now, the box office performance on this one it literally went under the radar for majority of the people. I don't remember seeing a trailer. I don't even remember seeing anything of sorts to market that this movie was literally a Ben Affleck film with, you know, cops, mind bending, all that. It didn't really resonate with anything else, so it's like so weird. Ben Affleck did reside on the muscle memory of where he was on like certain films, like The Accountant, The Sum of All Fears, maybe a little bit Batman, just heads up. But even so, Affleck is one of the most talented actors that I've seen in performance in my entire life, among other groups of people that has starred in this film. The worst scene is where he's like walking nonchalantly, but also at the same time like not being real. That's like, huh? And it the movie's slightly confusing, but at the same time I can see why that this never have anything to do with whatever. Now, during opening weekend, again, like I said, marketing was the key. Marketing was something that was not brought to people's minds when they saw the film. And especially the title alone, Hypnotic, kind of gives us like a weird, like, get ready for a trip on everything. The reason why it's number two on my mark is because how the film performed in box office was more worse than streaming, because it was like totally different from either one of them. Because we know that streaming gets a little more revenue, get a little more, you know, uppity in viewers comparing to box office. Box office is like literally just wanted some moviegoers to go to, but not a whole lot. And it didn't really resonate too well with the goers because, I kid you not, I've literally seen this in a movie theater, and I've seen so many like little groups going into one because I had to wait for my movie. And I don't know, there was not much marketing on a film that I've seen that should render it to be, you know, that bad. Especially if we're going to compare it from number 10 to number 2. Even though The Flash had many trailers, many promos, many everything, Hypnotic did not. And even so, even if you have good trailers or whatever, you still either sink a little lower or a little higher from where you're at. Now, this one literally took the cake for me, and I can understand why. And even so, I am with some members of the community of sorts that I find is very, very odd. And even so, the box office number for this number one worst film in my book, Knights of the Zodiac. I know, I will hear it from everyone else, but even so, hear me out. All right, box office numbers are a tad low because the opening was for select people. There was not a lot of, you know, continuance of this. Even fans of the show or of the series has not resonated too well with its live action adaptation. It resides on its CGI, its original 2D animation, if you will. And it had a wonderful cast in there, and it had a wonderful performance of getting there. We had Nick Stealth, best known for Disturbing Behavior, Terminator 3, the list goes on for that. Franka Junction, we also know her as Jean Grey, as the original Fox's X-Men, and as well as many others. And you know, there's a lot of wonderful cast members who actually portrayed some of the things. The worst scene, I would say, is, and I hate to say it like this, but it's the one with Nick Schultz, like, getting his armor, or getting his, you know, his astral power, if you will. How he obtained it is that he literally had to pass away in order for it to do it. Like, what? What's going on with that? But even so, the opening weekend on this one is that the Knights of the Zodiac trailers didn't really hit so much or hit resonant with some of the, you know, audience. It's because the old school audience prefer the 2D animation, prefer the 2D storyline, prefers the whole thing. But at the same time, this whole movie did spun around with this guy has a hidden, you know, hidden astral power within him, but he also has to protect the princess. And it doesn't really work too well onto a live action. And I bet you we can see more viewership on it, more than the box office, more than anything else, until it reached like streaming or on physical or digital purchase. The reason why this one hits number one for me is because, and it's not because how live action is ruining the anime community of its all thing. No. The reason why this one's hit my number one list is because how the storyline was adapted from the 2D, but it rendered a little weird for me, because you got to think about it. We're looking at episodic episodes or episodic storyline in what I would call a two-hour film, that you're going to have to do what original Dune did, was basically comprise half the chapters to fit in the movie. Which, yeah, there are certain things you can cut off, there are certain things that you can, you know, dwindle to just fit in there, but at the same time, you cannot take, you know, a good portion of it, chop the connecting storyline, and then get the next best part from the next storyline without explaining the storyline of that what happened. And this one here really hit my mark on how the Knights of Zodiac did do what Dune did, the original Dune in the 80s, was literally chopped like a good chunk of storyline, compressed it a little, but not a full explanation of why this, that, and ergo everything else. It's basically a live action Dragon Ball mixed with what would be basically like a script that would feel a little bit better if it was original, if you will. So yeah, these are my top 10 worst films in 2023, and I'm not changing my mind of where it's at, because that's where it is, guys. I'm sorry. These are like literally my thoughts on each film, and I don't know how to explain it, but again, 2023 films are having it the worst, especially certain movies that had hit the theaters. And even so, I really know that there's going to be some good ones coming out in 2023. But at the same time, I mean, we're all going to have that whole suffering here and there and all of that. So anyways, I thank you for listening to the episode. I know there might be some complications of this. Maybe my volume's too high, maybe it's volume too low. But these are like literally my thoughts of where it's at. But at the same time, like, it is what it is, you know? You just can't just, like, mess with it too much. You can't do whatever. But at the same time, it is what it is, and I'm kind of sticking to it. So, until the next time, which is probably sometime next year, because I'm definitely making sure that I'm coming up with more materials, new stuff. Even we're doing a whole different branding of the channel, so I definitely am looking forward to that, because these films are killing me. And not to mention, I will put out another another episode to explain what's going on with the channel, with the direction we're going. So until the next time, I'll see you guys later. Hey guys, again, thank you super, super much for listening to the episode. Greatly appreciated. Future episodes will be on the way, but its release dates are unknown for the time being. But until then, I hope you guys have a joyous year, or even beginning of the year, because I will be making sure that I'll come back next year sometime later. I don't know when, but thank you super, super much and appreciate it.